It is now 6:35. In the absence of the village president, I will call the meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Gingrich.
Here.
Trustee Rafter.
Here.
Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
I will now accept nominations for a chairperson. Trustee Dart.
I nominate Jim Gingrich.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I'll let you take over.
All right. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For my convenience, I'll shift over.
Okay.
Sit next to Debbie.
Short memories.
All right. Given our change in agenda, let me do this. Let me ask if there are any modifications, additions, corrections to the agenda. Any corrections or additions to the agenda?
Just to make sure everybody has an amended agenda.
Okay, and there were copies out
yes.
front? Okay. And it should be the ones with the red ink on the front. That's the updated version. So any other corrections, additions, changes? All right. A motion to adopt the agenda as presented. Trustee Harris with the first. Trustee Dennis with the second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion passed. Next on our agenda are announcements. Do we have any announcement today? Mr. Barron.
Just one item, just a reminder that tomorrow evening here in the boardroom at 6 o'clock is the next Riverside Drive Highway 57 Roadway Alternatives Committee workshop. So that's at 6 o'clock, probably till about 8 o'clock.
That's open to the public and interested stakeholders?
Sure.
Okay. Any other announcements this evening? Any changes to the agenda at this point? All right. Next on our agenda is a presentation on Webster Avenue Bridge Replacement Project by Omni Associates. I'll turn the floor over to them.
Do you prefer that I work from here?
That would be good.
Okay, but I need...
Whatever works for you.
Yeah, okay. I may have to run around.
We've got a portable...
Yeah, I've got this. It's good. Yeah. My name is Judy Wilson. I'm with Omni Associates. With me today, we have, well, Craig Burke, you all know, is the Director of Public Works here in the Village of Alloy. Pat DeShadow, if you can stand just quickly or raise your hand, is representing WISTA, Wisconsin Department of Transportation. And then Nick Eitenreich, actually, is representing Brown County. And again, my name is Judy Wilson. I'm a bridge engineer, and I work for Omni Associates, and we're working with Brown County and the DOT to replace the bridge on Webster Avenue over the Chicago National Railroads. Is that picking up all right for the most part? Okay. So I just have a very brief slideshow that I'll kind of go through some of the points about the structure. You might not know the bridge just looking at this picture, but that's the bridge on Webster Avenue over the Chicago National Railroad. It's near Schrader Flowers, if you've not been in that general area before. The bridge is a three-span structure. You can see. You see that we've got the three spans over the railroad tracks. It's constructed basically from steel girders, and then there's a concrete deck. And these are timber piers and timber abutments. The bridge was built in 1952, and I believe it was widened a little bit in 1991. But basically, it's the same structure that's been there since 1952. One of these pipe tricks. As you look at the bridge from the surface, and you can kind of see it there, the bridge carries four lanes of traffic. It's basically have a clear width of 25 feet on each side of the roadway for two lanes of traffic, and there's a 4-foot center median on the structure, and then 6-foot sidewalks either side. And because the bridge has been around for quite some time, it is showing significant signs of deterioration. Here you see the deck surface, and you see a lot of patching and cracking. The structure is rated 49.5 out of 100 on a sufficiency type of scale. And once a structure falls below 100, it becomes eligible for replacement with both federal and state funds. So Brown County's proposed to replace the structure. It's actually maintained and owned by Brown County. And as part of the agreement, federal funds will fund 80%, and Brown County will fund the remaining 20% to replace the structure. So our proposed construction limits are shown in this drawing. Basically, the new bridge, the existing bridge is 129 feet long and extends from about right there to about right here. Okay, so this is north. North is going that way. Schrader Flowers is on this west side here. The tracks are running right through here. Schrader has their other facilities on this side. On the other side, up this way is the gas station, and then I believe there's a bank down over on this side somewhere, a ways. Our project limits, though, will only extend about 75 feet, 85 feet north of the existing bridge and south of the existing structure, so a very limited spot improvement type of project. The new structure that we're proposing will be shorter than the existing bridge and will only be 94 feet long, and then there will be some retaining walls extending back to where the existing structure was. The reason for that is we want a single span type structure is cheaper to build than the multiple spans, and the shorter structure gives us greater vertical clearance over the railroad. On the roadway and on the structure as well, I'm showing here the existing is a 25 feet between curves. Proposed, we will have 28 feet between curves. So basically an 11-foot lane on the inside each way and then a 14-foot lane on the outside each way. And that 14-foot lane is meant to also accommodate 3 feet for bicycle traffic. That'll be just an accommodation. It won't be marked as a bike lane, but there will be some extra space there for bikers. This is a bridge plan in the lower view. You can see, it's kind of hard to see in this lighting, but this is the existing structure, this very faint lighting lines. Looking at it down the railroad, and you would see here these two piers. It's kind of what we saw. Now instead, our new structure is the darker, and it will be the new supports will be between the existing outside supports. So it's about 20 feet either side inside of where the existing structure was. In cross-section on the bridge, as I said before, we'll have 28 feet between the curves. We'll have a 5-foot median, and then we'll have a 6-foot sidewalk on the outside. The parapets or railings on the structure will be concrete at the base, and then a steel railing on the top, and I'll show you some pictures of what that might look like in a couple slides. The structure is supported on abutments, and this is just a picture of where those abutments are. There's one on this side, and there'll be one on this side as well. And I don't think I'll elaborate too much on that. This is what we've selected at this point for the parapet and the railing. The concrete parapet below will have a form liner used, and then it'll be stained so it looks like a stone, basically. And then this railing is a galvanized steel railing that's also painted, so you know, should have a longevity to it with the galvanization and the painting. And it'll be a dark brown painted, and it's a spindle kind of railing. the walls that are adjacent or to the tracks and will look a little bit like this on the bottom, right in here. They're called a mechanically stabilized earth or MSC type of walls. Probably not anything you'll ever look at, but that's what it would look like. The outside of the parapets will be like this. They'll just be natural concrete color. The inside, again, would be like this. We will have some minor impacts. The existing right-of-way is 80 feet wide. Our new structure will be 75.5 feet wide. So in order to go to match back into the existing, we're going to need to just have some minor easements during construction so that we can grade out behind the sidewalks and grade out near the abutments. So the real estate would be temporary limited easements from the railroad and then from the property owners in each corner, about a 5-foot strip. During construction, we will need to close the road to traffic. It's proposed that we would assign a detour route, the detour route being along East Alloway Avenue to Riverside Drive, Monroe Avenue, north to Mason, and then continuing on Webster Avenue. In terms of the project schedule, we're holding this as our local officials meeting or your village board meeting. We do have a public involvement meeting scheduled for September 3rd. That meeting will be here in this location, an open forum type of meeting from 6 until 7 p.m. Locals in the general area of the project have received an invitation for the meeting, and it's also published in the newspaper. We expect to complete our environmental document by late September, and then final plans will be completed by May 1st of next year. The project will be bid in September of next year, and then construction is scheduled for 2016. We are working towards having construction not start until after July 5th to accommodate some of the business concerns of Trader Flowers. That's pretty much all I have. Again, my name is Judy Wilson. If you have any questions, please, you know, send them my way. Paul Fontecchio is the engineering manager, and Nick Brink is here with us tonight. So I will open it up if there's any questions or anything else I can help you with.
Got a couple of questions. You mentioned there will be room in the consideration to include a bike lane, but it won't be marked or striped, or why is that?
It needs to be a little bit wider to be to striped as a bike lane. I think it would have to be 4 to 5 feet in order for it to be marked as a bike lane. And there's not enough room to put that in at this point.
But we do have an extra 4.5 or 5.5 feet existing right away. Could it be, could the footprint be expanded another 1.5 feet or are there on each side to accommodate a bike lane?
Maybe Craig,
I don't want to talk through what we wanted to do with that. And I think we felt that that was as good as we could do at this point with an accommodation for a bike. It's not signed or marked at this point in time. I don't think it's in the plan to be signed and marked as a bike route.
I think sidewalks are often used there by bikes on Webster. I think that's kind of a common versus the roadbed.
Part of the thought process was on the balance of Webster. We probably wouldn't be able to get the road wide enough to have marked bike lanes, so we thought this would match up with what we could do on the rest of Webster in the future. That was part of the thought process.
Okay.
That's a good question. It could be looked at in a little bit more detail, but that's kind of how we arrived at where we are.
So existing would be that people ride their bikes on the sidewalk, they just use the sidewalk over the bridge. I mean, I can't see them dropping down onto the road and getting back up on the sidewalk, right?
I don't think that would be the future, though. I mean, there are long-term plans, I believe, to reconstruct Webster Avenue. At that point,
at that point, they would be included.
I think they would try to have that accommodation on the outside.
Okay.
And any accommodation that you're going to do, you've got to relate that to the impacts of that property behind.
Sure. And then any lighting or other amenities on that bridge? Or is that local?
That'll be a local. We've talked about lighting. I anticipate that we will have conduit through the parapet on the bridge and maybe lights off of the structure.
Okay. Okay. And any train traffic going on there? Was there one or two trains a day or a
week? About it.
Yeah. Not much.
Yeah.
But there's no plans by the railroad to abandon that?
There are not, no.
There's usually a train that goes through almost every night at 9:30.
Well, that's good to know. Okay. Trustee Harris?
Two other things just caught my attention. Will there be a change in the railing height with the concrete and then the galvanized steel? How will that compare with the current height of the railings?
I believe it'll be about the same as the existing. I know that it'll be 4 foot 6 inches when we're done with what we're doing. And I believe the existing is probably close to that. It might be only 3 feet.
It's, I know it's a detailed question, but I just
thought
it. And then in terms of how are the detour routes established? It looked like we're someone was headed east-west on the south side. It was at Alloway Avenue. Is it something that would normally be put a little bit closer, like on St. Joe's?
Generally, you try to detour onto a similar type of road, like another county road. So we're going either on another county road, which East Alloway is County O.
Okay.
And then let's take Trunk Highway, West 57, mm-hmm. and West 54.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? If there are no objections, I'll open it up to comments from our guests this evening. And Mr. Trester?
John Trester, 2030 Jordan. I notice you're planning for 6 foot sidewalks. I think with a concrete railing being solid on the outside, I think 6 foot is going to be inadequate. There's a lot of congestion right now with the present 6 foot sidewalk. It's just inadequate for pedestrians and bicycles. The Webster Avenue, it allows bicycles on the sidewalk, which is a mistake anyway, but still, 6 foot is not sufficient. Why didn't you go towards the standard 10-foot?
Standard sidewalk on a bridge is 6 foot. I mean, that's a minimum requirement for structures. And standard sidewalks off the structure are 5 foot. So we are providing a standard sidewalk there.
July to October 2016, is that about the same time period the Mason Street Bridge is going to be started?
I'm not sure on that, actually.
Okay. Is the county going to fill the holes that are in the bridge now? They've been there for 2 years.
And so just like a temporary patches?
It's like the holes drilled in the bridge. They were never completely filled, and the ones that were filled were left about an inch and a half deep. Some of the big cracks up there, the county is not keeping up with it. And your detour on Riverside Drive, I think southbound traffic on Riverside, turning left on Alloway, taking all the traffic that's on Webster now, is going to be interesting.
Thank you, John. Other questions? Roger.
Hi, Roger Retzlaw.
You want to approach the podium? Oh, Roger, and use the microphone.
Just a couple of comments. I'm wondering whether this plan, the design for the bridge, has been coordinated with the village bike and ped plan, as well as the county bike and ped plan that are there. The first concern I had was I thought the county had anticipated a future bike route paralleling the railroad track. I'm not certain of that, but you need to check the bike ped plan to confirm that. I know that we do, as a village, anticipate pedestrian and bicycle use on the sidewalk, and so it functions as a multi-use trail, and the minimum width for a multi-use trail is 10 feet, not 6 feet. So, County Low, Alloway Drive carries, has bike lanes on both sides and sidewalks. It's narrower than St. Joseph. It carries more traffic already than St. Joseph. Also, there's a primary access to the Fox River Trail at Highway 57 from County Low, across Highway 57 at County Low. So using that as the alternate route is probably a mistake. With the lighter traffic on St. Joseph, doesn't carry much bike ped. It would be better to route it that way.
Okay. Thank you. Other comments?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. Following what Rogers talked about on the bike ped, I agree with the multi-use trail. This is a property that's currently in our TIF district, and we currently have a vision for what that TIF district should be, and we should make sure that this bridge fits the broader TIF district goals that we have, and that's the development of the old Village Hall site, as well as possible redevelopment down near Derby Lane. The Schrader Flowers property is a historic property. It's been in business for well over 100 years, and I was wondering if a Section 106 review was done on that property. I know that it was overlooked by the intensive survey, but it's a very important property, and it's one of the keystone properties for that neighborhood. So that was my concerns, was the bike and ped and the historic nature of Schrader's Flowers, and they could become the center and our TIF district, and they could become a very nice neighborhood if that bridge was done correctly. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. Hearing none. Thank you for the presentation.
Okay.
We move on now to public appearances. Is there anyone here that wants to make a public appearance that is not already addressed on the agenda?
Hi, this is the main reason I came. Roger Retzloff, 209 West Whitney Street. I have two issues that I'd like to present, letters that I will read and then hand over to you. First issue is regarding bicycle parking facilities. When voting at the Ward 4 polling place, the community center on Webster, the last few times I've occasionally ridden my bike. However, there was no place to reasonably park a bicycle. I've usually taken the bike inside the building. Considering our comprehensive plan encourages the development of bicycle transportation facilities, it seems the village should set the standard by providing bicycle parking at all village-owned public facilities. It could also encourage bicycle parking accommodations at retail, business, and workplace facilities within its borders. It seems reasonable that we should have a contemporary standard for bicycle parking, setting minimum requirements for rack type, placement, and directional signage to aid those who want to install bike racks in selecting the appropriate devices and location. The Public Works Department could easily develop a plan for racks at our public facilities. This is a transportation issue as I see it, rather than a recreational one. For the private, commercial, and workplace encouragement, the Village Board could ask the Economic Development Committee to make a survey of existing accommodations and develop a plan. If we are serious about our community goals in the comprehensive plan to make the village more accommodating to bicycle use, the first place to start is with parking. There is no point to having paths and on-street facilities without parking. We certainly have complex requirements for motor vehicle parking. The nice thing about bike parking is it is usually very low cost and easy to implement compared with an on-street facility, which are already, for bicycles, the least expensive of transportation facilities. I hope the next time I go to vote, there will be a place to park my bike. Second issue relates to the recent reissue of Village Ordinance Chapter 31. In the recently updated Ordinance Chapter 31, I happen to notice Section 19, and had concerns about paragraph D relating to pedestrians. Our village has few sidewalks and limited public playgrounds within a walkable distance for children. There is also a portion of our population unfavorable towards sidewalks. As a result, our streets are places for pedestrian recreation and transportation, from walking dogs to walking to school, from jogging to riding scooters to an occasional game of passing the football at halftime. In Wisconsin, it is fairly common for motor vehicle drivers to ignore the presence of vulnerable users, pedestrians and bicyclists, in the street, to cause them harm, and to be relieved of responsibility for their action or inaction with the simple statement of, I didn't see them. And the likelihood of paragraph A of section 19 for being applicable is highly unlikely unless a law enforcement officer is actually present to witness the incident. Paragraph D does no service to the citizens of Alloway and their guests. The specific urbanized form of the village and the wording of paragraph D put pedestrians, children, and adults in normal life activities at risk of harm and fault. I believe there should be an acknowledgement of allowable activities which pedestrians are permitted to engage in on residential roads, lacking sidewalks on both sides. Our comprehensive plan has maps of the road and sidewalk conditions. This might be similar to the way certain land uses are permitted in our zoning code. The ordinance should specifically require motorists share the roadway with pedestrians engaging in permitted activities of recreation and transportation on these multi-use streets and require that a law enforcement officer cite motorists for any incident causing harm to the pedestrian street user for undue caution in the presence of a vulnerable user. It seems to me essential that the village board address this concern as an appropriate standard of care in the safety of our village. It is fortunate that we have not had, from what I am aware of, any crashes that would call the ordinance into question. I know you want Alloway to be a good place to live, and certainly aligning our ordinances with the nature of our community is one way. Our comprehensive plan is very specific about the importance of accommodating and encouraging pedestrian activity. Correcting this failure in our village code is one way to meet these goals and to take another step forward toward the vision for our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other public appearances?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I just wanted to talk briefly about the state improvements that are scheduled in our TIF districts, one on the Riverfront District, and the other would be the bridge today. We have the Highway 57 reconstruction project is going to be going through what I call the historic Alloway Riverfront District, or HARD, and we're going to make some hard choices coming up, and that includes bike and pedways, and how we handle our TIF district along the riverfront. So I would like to see our board take a close look at the vision that we have for Riverside Drive in Alloway between St. Joseph Street and 172, and how that vision that we have for our TIF district and for our community fits with the planned Highway 57 reconstruction project. Thank you.
Thank you.
John Drester, 2030 Jordan. I noticed a recent code change disallowing a residency for convicted sexual offenders within 2,000 feet of schools and parks. I believe that this is very short-sighted and ultimately will lead to a lot of hidden people and people dropping back underneath radar. I think that the idea, the suggestion to get the entire state to have a standardized code for a residency is a very good idea. And I fully support the village in going with other communities in the area to have a combined regulation of some kind that is not only public safety conscious, but also conscious of people's human rights and rights to live in comfortable locations. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public appearances this evening that's not related to anything else on the agenda? Okay, hearing none, we'll open it up to our public hearing for intergovernmental cooperation agreement between the City of De Pere and the Village of Alloway to determine a portion of the common boundary line through detachment and annexation of territory. Mr. Barrett, would you like to lead this discussion?
It has been a long time in reaching this point, I believe over 2 years. What you have before you tonight is the resolutions for the ordinances, resolutions, and the agreements, which are required to be signed between Alloway and De Pere to effect the transfer of the south portion of the right-of-way of LeBrun, east of East River Drive. And then, subsequent to that transfer, we'll be able to do the repair and maintenance work on that portion of East LeBrun. So that is what the purpose of the public hearing is to solicit comments from residents in regard to that. But this is the path forward at this point in time to execute the agreements that will allow that transfer to take place, that annexation to take place, and then we can proceed with the repair of that roadway. The agreements also cover the future addition of a public access trail that will be a joint project between Alloway and De Pere, jointly funded. Same as the repair of the roadway, it's a jointly funded project between the two communities. So that trail portion of the project will be some time in the future when that's designed and when both communities submit that as a joint application for trail funding. So that's what this is all about, and this is the next step for both communities to proceed with that project.
Okay. Well, given that this is a public hearing, is there anyone here that would like to address or speak to this issue? Please step forward.
My name is Don Robson. I live at 807 LeBrun on the portion of the road that's about to be that we're talking about here tonight. Overall, I think the proposal is okay, but I do have a major concern with item number 5. Which is allowing the City of De Pere to have access points on LeBrun to be used by De Pere, and it is in particular parcel ED-1128-11 and any subdivision thereof. Best I can tell by the map, that starts about where the condominiums end on LeBrun and run down to the East River. So that entire portion, a lot of that is already trail rather than roadway, but they're apparently looking for access all the way. My concerns are twofold. When construction began on the condominiums several years ago, Hillcrest Lumber, who was building the condominiums, immediately began to use LeBrun Road as an access road for their construction vehicles, concrete trucks, cranes, etc., etc. And that continued all the way through the construction of the condominiums up to the point where they were almost complete with all the condos. Mr. Mocko went to the City of De Pere and to the Village of Alloway, and I'm not 100% sure of these numbers, but I believe it was $50,000 that he offered to give to the two municipalities so that he could use LeBrun Road as his access to those condominiums, despite the fact that he already had an approved site plan from the City of De Pere that showed a road coming off of East River Drive and running on the south side of the condominiums. Because those condominiums are built, well, that's where the road is now, Penny, so that's it, he's got. But anyway, those condominiums, I think, are built in a floodplain. And so he therefore needed dry land access to get to them. So he wanted, the proposal that it ended up being was they were going to raise the road 3 feet, LeBron Road, 3 feet in front of my house with the $50,000. We ended up having them, which concerned me greatly. I was suddenly aware of my home being in a hole if they raised the road 3 feet from where it is now. And so we had a meeting in my front yard, as I remember, and the city of DePere was represented by their director of public works, their city engineer, the building inspector, and the fire chief. And Mr. Mako and his attorney were there. Representing Alloway were our village administrator at the time and our public works director at the time and myself. Never once did I hear an offer from DePere or Mr. Mako to provide any extra fill that I may need to raise my yard up to an acceptable level or any way to get rid of the excess water that I was sure was going to come off of that raised road. And so we eventually, the village people that were there said, no way are we doing that. And he ended up, as I said, building his access road on the south side of the condominiums off of East River Drive. The second thing occurred, as Craig said, a couple years ago we were working on this and thought we had an agreement with the city of DePere for the upper portion, for the entire road actually, from McCaslin to down to Wheezy Park. But we have been more concerned with the upper portion, the closed portion of the road, than we are with the portion in front of my house from East River Drive down. I remember being in this chamber that night when we thought we had this agreement, and I think it was Steve Vandenhoven that asked Mr. Mako, who was here that night, do you have any plans for that vacant property on that closed portion of LeBron? And Mr. Mako said, no, I don't. Well, it was only a matter of days that he announced to the city of DePere that he wanted to build 94 apartments on that vacant property. And so the entire agreement fell through, and we are, despite the fact that Craig says it's been 2 years, Craig hasn't been here 23 years like I have. It's been 23 years of not getting anything done, and I've seen a ton of proposals, and so it's getting pretty frustrating. But what it's really caused me to do is lose faith in, complete faith in Harry Mako and his ability to be honest about what his plans are. And I've also have begun to lose faith in the city of DePere because they continue to do whatever he wants, at least in my opinion. When, you know, even despite the fact that Harry wants to keep that portion of LeBron open so he can exit out of his apartment buildings, when he has property all along the south side of LeBron down to East River Drive that he could put his access road in. You know, he continues to say, no, this is better for me. And DePere says, yeah, that's what we should do then. So I'm losing faith in all of them. And so that is one of the reasons I have so much concern to just grant them, you know, access anytime they feel like doing it. At least what I would like to see happen is that we could delete item 5 from this agreement. And in lieu of that, if we are unable to do that, could we somehow get some language in there that says they can't just access it without asking? Once, you know, if they're going to give us that portion of the road or we're going to annex it, couldn't we at least say, no, you can't access that property without some kind of permission and some kind of knowledge of what you're doing down there? Because I just, again, because of what I've been through in 23 years, I don't trust them. And so, and I know that doesn't sound like a very kind and Christian thing to do, is to be at odds with your neighboring municipality, but I just don't trust those people anymore. And so I'm hoping there's some way we can accomplish that. And I thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you. Anyone else to address this issue? Anyone else? Times 3, anyone else? Okay. That brings us back to board action on this. Craig, any opinion on, I'm assuming we can't just delete and sign and say, here you go. It would probably have to go back to a discussion to address item number 5. Is that true?
If you wanted to delete item 5, I'm not sure that that would be acceptable to DePere. I think that would require a redo of the entire agreement
right.
negotiation. if you added a clause in here subject to approval by Village of Alloway, again, that would require additional approval by the pier, but it does give you some additional control over that access. So, you know, I guess you could take whatever approach you feel you want to take as a board, and we just have to deal with that in terms of the agreement.
Okay. Thoughts from the board?
Is number five an addition? Is it a recent addition to the agreement? Or
no, that's been in there since early in the discussions. They wanted to have one access point on LeBron. If there was a development in that eastern section, they need two points of access. The primary access would be, you know, to the city streets and the pier, but this would be a secondary access so that they would have their two access points that they require for their planned developments.
Is the future trail going to be on the south side or the north side?
All along it's been discussed as being on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
In the recent discussions with the pier, they did ask the question about locating it on the north side. We did reply to that through our village attorney, and I don't believe that's going to be a request that they're going to make. I believe that that will be dropped, but I can't guarantee that, but that's what I've heard, is that that request would be dropped.
Trustee Harris?
As you read through the different points, each item is something where the City of De Pere and the Village of Alloway are working together. They'll share, equal, work jointly. The only thing that's not a shared responsibility or shared agreement on is item five. That's where we're granting whatever happens on parcel ED 1128-11, they get access. So we have no say in that matter. That's the thing that stood out to me, is that that is the only one that's not a joint venture, for lack of better words.
Okay.
I agree, with Trustee Harris that if you read it as such, the wording is that we are being told that we're going to allow something and is approved by the peer being told to do it.
Okay.
And with concern in combination with what this gentleman said as well, I'm not sure that that's the best wording or the best procedural plan. And it sounds like nitpicking, and it may be putting it back in the pockets of each side to have to redo it, but you don't want to do it right rather than do it wrong, or do it agreeable to everybody as best we can. I don't think that is.
Okay.
I don't think we should necessarily get rid of item five, but if we did add something along the lines of whether it's some part of the Village of Alloway has to have a say in it, whether it's the board, not necessarily, but I think we at least have to agree to it.
Okay. Anything else from the board? I'm going to waive our procedures for a minute to entertain a comment from the audience.
Great. Why do they need two points of access on there? Because the way I look at the map, and tell me if I'm wrong, but that parcel runs from, like I said, from the south or the east portion property line that where the condos are now down to the East River, at least according to the map that I was given here. That's the parcel that we're talking about, is it not?
I don't know the details of the parcel, but I know that...
Well, but you have a map, like I do.
Yeah, the Planning Commission, their Planning Commission requires for any development, they have two points of access. And so wherever they get those two points of access, but they have to have two points of access.
But my point is that the majority of that parcel, first of all, right behind the condos, there's a creek that runs through there, which would never be used for any kind of access, I can't imagine. And then you hit Wheezy Park, where the trail takes over. And you mean we're going to allow them to have access by driving on that trail for getting people out of there in case of a flood? I assume that's why they need access to that property, back to this dry land access. And even down there, I don't know that isn't that floodway when you get closer to the river instead of floodplain?
Yeah, it is. If they were to have access in that area, they would have to construct a roadway to do that.
Yeah. So we're, you know, in And with them having access, they could just do that, right? Without saying anything to us. I mean, just, we have access, therefore we're going to build the road. And all of a sudden, now the traffic is going to increase, and you're losing that part of that walking trail and your trail system.
Okay.
But I, you know, it just doesn't seem right.
I appreciate the comments, and I think Mr. Robson raises some good points, as do some of the other trustees. Unless we have other comments to make, I would entertain a motion to recommend approval of the agreement, but with the addition of an addendum addressing item number 5 to give Alloway a point of reference and a point of approval should De Pere decide to move forward with some kind of development. I think we would need to weigh in on that, and I would entertain a motion to that effect. Or I'll make that motion that we proceed with approval of this agreement with adding the addendum to address issue number 5, paragraph number 5, that would allow Alloway the right of refusal on some new construction road access points down there. Is that clear enough? Mm-hmm. Trustee Hare, Trustee Rafter?
A second.
Second. Any more discussion on this issue? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Very good. Moving on to old business. Action regarding resolution to circulate amongst communities in the area requesting a uniform statewide policy for...
Right, we have to approval of ordinance.
Oh, sorry. Let me back up here. Next action item is related to the same topic. Approval of ordinance number 2014-19, annexing territory to the village of Alloway. Mr. Barrett, anything to add on this issue?
No, it's just one of the approvals that we have to make to be able to execute this annexation.
Okay.
Do we have to go back to here and change number 5 or talk over before we move forward? So do we have to table this?
That's a question for the attorney, I guess. I don't know whether you can approve it and move forward on that basis.
Okay, so the first one was not actually... We were approving the resolution.
Correct.
Which is 2014-16.
That would be this one. It has the...
This, that is not... The latest one that Dennis gave us is a new one, correct?
Yes.
That was in the new packet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the second one is to approve the ordinance. So these are the three new ones that are attached to the new agenda.
Yeah, I've got that.
Now this one does not have these specifics in it. So that motion would not make any sense since that issue is not addressed in this new agreement. It would look like my option would be to withdraw that motion and or to reconsider it and then redirect this whole thing back to De Pere because there's no reference to that in this newly drafted document.
Well, the ordinances allow the village to proceed with the process of signing the agreement. But if you modify the agreement, I don't think these ordinances impact the agreement itself. You're modifying the agreement. They still have to approve that agreement and sign that. And I think that's probably how it would work.
we're authorizing an agreement to take place, but we still have an issue with the agreement itself. So we're saying once an agreement is made, we do authorize it. So we're looking at the wording of the agreement, I think, as well as then saying we authorize the village president to sign the agreement.
Correct. Well, could that motion stand then?
That you're adopting resolution with the addendum to the agreement.
Okay.
I'm assuming.
Does everybody
would that work? Would that take care of the problem?
Everybody agreement with that? Okay.
Is there an issue with waiting to make sure that the city of De Pere doesn't have an issue before we pass the resolution and do them all at the same time, just like we planned to do tonight?
I think we could approve them all together, but with that addendum. And if they don't agree to that, then none of them are valid. I think we could do that to save some time and future discussions or whatever.
Because the ordinances and the agreements are on their agenda tonight for approval as well.
So okay.
They may very well pass all of these, and then we'll be submitting an amendment that they'll have to approve.
Okay. I think that's fair enough, and we have had some track record on that property, certainly the western part. Okay, as long as we're clear on that, then we'll move on to action regarding approval of ordinance number 2014-19, annexing territory to the village of Alloway. Discussion on that. Craig, any issue with that we have not addressed?
I don't think so.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion to approve the ordinance. I'll make the motion then we approve ordinance number 2014-19, annexing territory to the village of Alloway, fully knowing that if the other one is not approved with the addendum, we may have to come back and readdress this issue. But I'll make that motion. Is there a second? Trustee Dart, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. That gets us to the third part, action regarding approval of resolution number 2014-17, authorizing intergovernmental cooperation agreement between the City of De Pere and Village of Alloway, friends, LeBron Street Reconstruction and Trail, and friends. Any discussion on that issue? And this one does not have a reference to moving the trail to the north side of the street, correct? Okay. Looking for a motion to accept or further discuss?
A motion to accept.
Okay. A motion to approve the resolution number 2014-17, authorizing intergovernmental cooperation agreement between the City of De Pere and Georgia Alloway regarding the LeBron Street reconstruction and trail. Is there a second?
Do we need to,
with
again,
the same
add in the same,
reference to the addendum added to the initial one? Okay.
Then
given
yes,
that?
Then yes, you have a second.
Second by Trustee Harris. Any other questions or input? Please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. All right. Moving on. Old business. Action regarding resolution to circulate amongst communities in the area requesting a uniform statewide policy for sex offenders. This is from Attorney Duffy, dated 8/5/14. We'll suspend the rules at this point and open up the discussion among the board members. Any input, questions, thoughts?
Did we get a copy?
No, he didn't. He didn't provide it, so we are postponing.
Yeah, okay, we'll postpone that. No copies to be studied.
We have a motion.
Need a motion to suspend? Trustee Dart, a second. Trustee Rafter. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Motion carried. All right, moving on to old business. Number 9, action regarding awarding the bid for construction of the Fox River Trail connection. Brad.
After reviewing the bids that we did receive, contacting the state to see if there was potential for any additional funding, it is determined that the best option would be to reject all bids and rebid in February of 2015, with the hopes of the project can either additional funds could be allocated during the budget process in the upcoming months, and the hopes of getting a better bid price come 2015. So that would be the recommendation.
Was this the project with the huge difference in engineering fees? Or is that?
Yes, there's a much higher value placed on the engineering fees for this particular project.
Okay.
It's an 80-20 grant award, so there's both state and federal funds associated with the project.
If we were to delay till February 15th, when would we be done? When would the trail be completed, you think?
Well, we would shoot for an early construction in the spring.
Okay. Early bids, early construction?
Yeah.
Okay. How long will the funds be available from the federal government?
Well, right now we have an extension because they felt with us doing the bid process that shows significant progress. So therefore, it locks our funds up at least until for 2015.
Okay.
This project was originally awarded to the village in 2010. It has taken us until 2014 to bid the project because of the amount of steps you have to go through.
So if we bid it again in the spring, and if something comes in that we like, we can act on it right away?
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. I would entertain a motion to accept our village administrator's recommendation to move to reject all bids. Trustee Dart?
I move.
Is there a second? Trustee Harris?
We'll re-advertise in February of 2015.
Correct. Is that a second? All right, we have a motion and a second to take the option number 2 to reject all bids and determine through the budget process any available funds. We then advertise in February 2015 and hope to receive better prices. This option makes the most sense and is recommended. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Brad. Next on our agenda, under new business, action regarding the appointment of Mr. Rick King to the Public Works Committee. I believe this recommendation came from President Vandenauer. We have a motion from Trustee Dart to approve. Is there a second? Trustee Rafter. Any further discussion?
Is Rick a former?
Yes.
Yes.
He's 36 years working for the village, street superintendent and or foreman for a number of years, very active in the village, and I think comes highly recommended.
I just wasn't sure if he was a current or former employee.
A former, yep. Retired. Any other questions, comments? Then we have a motion and a second to appoint Rick King to the Village Board Committee. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Public Works Committee, like I stated that wrong. All right, next item on our new business is regarding pool barriers, swimming pool barriers, and Mark Roberts has some information for us.
As in the memo I sent out, I'm getting a lot of complaints about pools, the above ground pools, and not having fences around. I had the same problem in last year. Talked with Dan, the building inspector, he told me that he was going by the international code that anything over 48 inches, you don't have to have a fence around it. I did the research. I didn't make copies for y'all because it was like about 30-something pages of it. If you want to waste paper, if you want to look at it, I've got it here, or I have it on the internet, on the G drive, you can look at it. These are all the international code, which is worldwide acceptance of any pool that's 48 inches high above ground pool. That's considered a barrier as long as you can remove the ladder or you can lock the ladder where nobody can get into the pool. One of the other ones, next requirement they had was an alarm system set on the pool, so if anybody ever went into the pool that you didn't know about, it would set on the alarm to the house. That's not a requirement that I've ever seen. That's just a suggested requirement by one of these organizations. These are four different organizations, all international. The other thing to come across here is our ordinance states that you have to have a fence no less than 50 inches. Nobody makes a 50-inch fence. They're always 48, you know, four, three, four, five, six-foot fences. So that's the only one. If you want to make it a 6 foot or 5 foot fence, change it to 5 foot, or suggest them to make a 48-inch if you want to do that. But get rid of the 50-inch, makes it confusing if we want to do that. But my suggestion or recommendation would be is if it's above ground pool, if it's 48 inches high, they can remove the ladder or lock it where nobody can get into the pool. That would be acceptable instead of making people have a 48-inch pool and turn around and put a 48-inch fence around a 48-inch pool. I was getting a lot of complaints from people. As soon as I started telling them I got to put a fence up, I was getting, you know, it makes no sense. And that's when I did the research and looked at this. So I just brought this to you, see if you want me to carry on with it, maybe look at changing the ordinance. That was just why I brought this to you.
So you've been getting complaints from people who have the pools about having to put up a fence.
Right. I get complaints from people saying, hey, they got a pool over there with no fence around it. So then I was going after them to put a fence around it. And then they were like, well, if I have a 48-inch fence or a 50-inch fence around a 48-inch pool. So that's when I went back to the research and seeing that the all the international building code organizations, each one of them said that's acceptable. But I was getting complaints by people from both sides. And but to me, my suggestion, if it's a 48-inch pool and you get rid of a ladder and nobody can get in there, it makes no sense having an ordinance that tells them to spend more money putting a fence around a pool that's already meets requirements.
But these are typical blue kind of soft-sided. I see a number of those around. Those are about 48 inches? Not
yes,
a pole, I guess.
That's one, yeah. But you see them around here all over the place. It's the new style, and they're hard sides. They're not real soft sides. They're hard sides where you just can't pull it down or push it over. It's hard enough where you just can't, you know, knock it over and get in there. And they meet the requirements for the they meet the requirements for international swimming pool and spa codes. So
okay. Christy Harris.
I think of a couple different things. If we would switch it to 60 inches, we'd have the issue of grandfathering all the existing pools. And once you have them, at what point do they have to switch over when there's a change in ownership, so on and so forth? So I think it'd be very difficult to administer a switch from 50 to 60. If the standard is 48, maybe we can canvas three or four other communities and understand where they're at. If they're also at 48, and have established that may help guide us as well.
But I think we're looking for some fairly quick action on this.
Mm-hmm. We are doing what does 50-inch.
Okay, that helps there.
Yeah, we're the ones that.
Yeah, I would.
I think that's about it because I talked to Dan about it. He's going to brought it up to me. I said, nobody makes a 50-inch fence, but I don't know why that's even in.
Then I'd be in favor of drafting the language to switch it from 50 to 48.
Do we have to also change the language with the locking ladder, or is that in there properly?
No, we'd have to add that also.
We have to add that.
I was just getting direction if you wanted to continue looking into this, because this is all in here. It's
okay.
So we just want to provide you some direction at this point versus code change?
If we want to leave, or if you want me to look on it, maybe look at changing the ordinance.
Okay. I did a little quick research. I had a swimming pool at one time, and I just recently checked again that a pool alarm can cost anywhere from, I suppose the sky's the limit, but you know, it's $100 to $200 probably, which would be a burden. I mean, I totally get why you would do that. But for us to add that in might be a, you know, financial burden for some. May want not want to do that. But I think there's certainly merit in going with the 48 inches and then the ladder verbiage so people, young children, can't crawl in. Okay. Anything, any other comments from the board? Okay, then our action, I would entertain a motion then to provide direction to Mr. Roberts to continue his drafting of a new ordinance.
Adjustments to the ordinance.
Okay. Who would like to make that motion? Trustee Harris?
Yes, I'd like to move that Mr. Roberts continue on with his recommendation to adjust the ordinance for pool height barriers to be 48 inches, adding in language for a removable or lockable ladder.
Okay. Is there a second? Trustee Dark? Okay. Any further discussion, information? All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Motion carried. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Item number 12. Park and Rec and Forestry Director and job description and authorization to fill vacancy. Mr. Lang.
There is one typo in here.
I think I saw that.
with that typo, we'll make that change. But I'm seeking authorization to, one, approve the new job description, and two, to authorize filling the position. I did include tonight in your mailbox some salary comparables, but that's not listed on the agenda, so you cannot take action on that tonight, which is fine. We can do that on the September 2nd meeting. So if the approval of the job description and then based upon the salary range could be discussed on September 2nd with the authorization at that time to move forward with advertising. So so tonight, basically, if we just concentrate on approving the job description, then we can start moving forward.
Okay. How does questions?
How does this job description differ from what's been in place?
What some of the biggest changes that I added was more the planning aspect, being involved in much more of the planning, the capital improvement program, the asking for some public works project experience that was not listed in the other job description. And when you say public works projects, it's all encompassing. And it's something that's very familiar with the processes of public works projects. The other major changes were, the requirements of having the knowledge in the building trades, because the previous director was in charge of all the building facilities, so needing to know the various trades, not that you're going to be a master at a more schooled in the trades, but to have a basic understanding of the HVAC, the electrical, do's and don'ts. So those were some of the things that I added to the job description.
Okay. Any further questions? Trustee Rafter.
In terms of the minimum 3 years work experience, is that work experience or is that supervisory experience? Or?
Good question. I would anticipate that would be more of the work experience, which is encompassing these functions.
Does indicate also here previous supervisory experience, although it doesn't have a year to that. Okay.
So you think someone with 3 years work experience with these experiences has the experience as a director of parks?
That is pretty common. 3 to 5 would be the other, probably the higher end of it, but based on the size of the community, a 3-year would probably be significant or suffice.
Any question? All right, I would entertain a motion then to approve the job description. And the authorization to fill the position would actually be deferred till the next meeting.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that's Trustee Rafter.
Yep. I'll move that we accept the job description for the Director of Parks, Recreation, Forestry as submitted.
Is there a second? Trustee Dennis, any further discussion or questions?
Are you doing two separate motions or
double together? I guess we could do this as a separate motion to approve the job description.
Mm-hmm.
And then defer, and then I guess I could have a second motion, we'll vote on it at the same time, to defer the authorization to fill the vacancy until our September board meeting. Would you want to make that same?
I will. I will also move to defer the decision on filling the vacancy until our next board meeting.
Trustee Dennis, is that good with your second? Okay. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Motion carried.
I thought he agreed to do both jobs.
Well, that's going to change, I guess. After a week, yeah. Okay, action item number 13, facade improvement funding for Thomas Matuzak, 1501 South Webster Avenue, Green Bay. And there is an attachment here and picture overhead. Property located on South Webster on the corner presently serves as a Quick Mart type gas station and convenience store. Questions?
Yeah, I just wanted to note that on the facade improvement, on the form he filled out, he didn't initial anything. Where it says initially is 5 places, they're not done.
This is initials next.
Page 6.
Well. Right, and that is something I brought to his attention.
Okay.
He's coming out of the office. He's out of town.
Now, as I recall, there's like rules in place of what they have to. It's been a while since we looked at those things, but how the process works, is there not? Do you recall, Trevor? Like they have to have it done, and then they have to submit.
Right. So we approve the allocation of funds, then they're able to start the project, and then they submit their. Bills over receipts to the village, and we reimburse them up to the amount that we agreed to.
And I recall some conversation, and I can't remember which way it went, about architectural drawings, but then I remember us saying, well, that's kind of ridiculous because, you know, $10,000, you can pay that in an architectural drawing. So I don't think that's in there anymore, if I'm not mistaken.
No, we just request maybe like a picture,
okay.
A small picture. And
well, I think this is. I'm supposed to make a motion first, am I not?
Sure.
Okay. I would move to approve this facade improvement for 1501 South Webster Avenue.
Is there a second? Trustee Rafter? Further discussion?
Yeah, I just say, I think these are the kind of things we'd like to see in the TIF district because these are the kind of things like people are going to notice. They're going to notice this right away when this improvement is done. And it's something that can be fast and get attention. So I like it. I'm glad someone's taking advantage of the SOT program.
This will be our first, correct?
It will be our first. Right.
Okay. Trustee Rafter? Trustee Harris?
What amount do we have in grant funds? If we're
Claire reported on that last month, or last meeting about what increments were available to fund, and I think there was 15. No, there was more than that.
There's about 42,000.
Yep, that could be right.
Okay.
So we're using the funds that we've already, the increments that we've already obtained to fund this.
And this request is for 10,000.
That's great.
And it's a $45,000 project or 42?
47.
Yeah, so it would be nice to see on that building. That's an old building. It would be a nice improvement.
What kind of time frame are they looking at? Right now it's a TBD. We want to, along with the initialing of the following the program rules, would we need a little more clarification on starts and stops, or starts and completion?
AR requires a complete project within a year.
And we don't pay them until it's finished, so right. They don't get any funding from us until it's done.
Okay.
100% completion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Trustee Rafter?
I had an opportunity to talk to Mr. Matuszak, and he wasn't even thinking about doing this until he heard about this program. So it goes to show that these programs can help our businesses, and in turn our businesses are investing in our community.
And it is a Webster Avenue corridor
yep.
business, which we seem to be on kind of a roll, at least discussing that whole area right now. So it seems to make a lot of sense. Any further discussion on this? Trustee Dennis.
One of the reasons why that one line isn't initialed is because it's in relation to the loan program as opposed to the grant program, which is what we discussed previously.
Mm-hmm. That's just initialing that you read.
Okay.
I wouldn't initial anything with the word loan.
Anything else? All right. We have a motion and a second to approve the facade improvement funding for the property located at 1501 South Webster Avenue. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Motion carried. On to agenda item number 14, regarding facade improvement funding for Greg Emmel, 1541 Riverside Drive, Green Bay, Wisconsin. And you have a handout in front of you for that. Very similar to the other one. I guess smaller in scope and a smaller request. It would appear it needs some work, you know, so that's... My first thought, though, in looking at it, I guess I'll suspend the rules for discussion, but my first thought in looking at it is you don't really notice it because it's behind another property, but when you look at the picture, you know, driving by, you hardly see it back there, but looking at the pictures, it certainly could benefit from some upgrades. Any other thoughts? This, too, is on our other main corridor. One of the properties in front of it has been for sale for a while. I don't know the future of that.
I guess one question I do have is how do we come up with the calculation? He's requesting about 50% of the funds be covered by grant versus...
That's 50% to 10,000 is what they'll cover.
Is that how it works? 50% to 10,000, okay.
So it's much smaller scope. Right. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts? Questions? People familiar with the property? At least somewhat. Okay. I would entertain a motion to approve this request, make it consistent with the one we just approved for the property on Webster Avenue. Trustee Dart. All right, we have a motion to proceed with the approval from Trustee Dart. Is there a second? Trustee Harris. All right, any other input, discussion? All right, all those in favor of...
You guys, the board doesn't have to allocate 50%, but that is what he's requesting. Is that what you guys choose to, up to 50% of the project cost?
I thought that's how it was written.
Okay. Right, that was my assumption, too.
Yeah, I think it was.
Could be 5,500 or 5,600, give or take, max?
50%.
Could we clear on that? Maximum would be about 5640.
I think what Trevor's asking is that we don't necessarily have to go to 50%.
But I think that's how it's written.
That's it? Okay.
I think, but that's, you know, my memory.
If the actual, in the first one that we've looked at, obviously 50% you're not going to get to with a $40,000, $50,000 project. If the actual costs come in higher than what this estimate is, are we locked in to continue up at 50%? So instead of 11,280 as the top end, if actual costs come in at 16,000, are we locked in to 50% there and at $8,000?
Or are we locked in to amend
the motion to
just limit it to 50%, not to exceed 5,640.
And I didn't know how it was written, so I'd rather ask.
Any other input, Trevor, from you know, your contact with the business owner and all of that? A good feeling for this?
I think so. He's already done some significant improvements on the building. He took it over recently from his father. And he's replaced the roof and done other interior, like bathroom remodel and everything inside. So he's hoping to gain new tenants in the future.
Okay. Very good. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Do we have anything to say? I didn't know if there was a question.
So for the previous one, is the max that we allow is 10,000?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that one is
10,000.
10,000 no matter what. Okay.
So this one will be, the motion is that we do not go above 5640.
Correct.
Our
maximum
50%, but not to exceed 5640.
All right. That brings us to adjournment. Do we have a motion to adjourn? Trustee Dennis?
Aye.
Do we have a second? Trustee Harris? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. The motion carried. Adjourn at 7:55.